Well, we are in the middle of Galatians. It's been a busy week. It's been an extremely busy week, but one of the new things that's happened is my girlfriend decided to get her hair done. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and of all things, too, she goes blonde. Oh, yeah. Oh, she doesn't send me pictures the whole time. I'm waiting to see what it looks like. I go to see her. She walks out the door, and I'm like, oh, you are so pretty. Oh, my gosh. What did I do to deserve you? Don't answer that. Please don't answer that. And so, you know, she's all happy. I mean, she is so happy about this. And she does not currently go here right now. She's going to another church. She's been going to another church her whole life, and she's on the worship team over there. And so she goes this week. She shows up early, and she starts to do practice, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, your hair looks amazing. All the women do. All the guys, they couldn't care less, which is good. Good. Don't care. It's my job to care, not yours. And they're just all like, oh, it looks so fantastic. Oh, why did you decide to do this? And then they ask this question, does your boyfriend like it? And it's a simple question, but really, it's kind of a dumb one, isn't it? I mean, what other answer am I going to give other than it looks fantastic, baby? Listen, I know all I have is a GED, but I'm smart enough to pass that test, all right? Right? Some of you guys aren't nodding your head, and you don't know that. You're going to find that out. Everything is a test. But we're talking about relationships. How many of you, raise your hand, have a good relationship in your life? And I'm not talking romantic. We're talking friendship. Yeah, right? We all have a good relationship, right, with somebody, at least one person. How many of you have a bad relationship? Somebody you're like, we'll be praying for you. We all have those. We have one or the other. My question to you today is this. On that spectrum, whether it's a good relationship, so it's people you know you love, you can talk to about anything, they're always there. Or the other side, the bad relationship, those people you just do not want to be around. Where on that spectrum does your relationship with God fall? See, there's a lot of different things that go into a relationship, right? There's love, respect, we're going to get into all that. But really, there's a couple things that are a little different with God than your regular relationships. With a regular relationship, I can go up to someone and say, hey, how you doing? And what do they say back? Exactly. There's this back and forth. But with God, sometimes it's not much back and forth there sometimes, is there? And sometimes when you really need to talk to him, any day now. And let's be honest here. We've all, to some extent, done this. You're really ticking me off here with what you're doing. This isn't right. And what happens? Nothing. It's hard to be in a relationship with a being that sometimes doesn't talk back at least the way we would like them to. But there is a real simple point that we all need to understand, and it's the first point today. We belong to God. We belong to God. Some people take issue with that because there's a sense of ownership, and we don't like to be owned. Yet all of us were created by God. My girlfriend's brother, she's this artsy kind of guy. He's nice. I like him. He's a fun guy to be around. But he's really artsy. I'm not. I don't appreciate all the little things about paintings and drawings and pottery. He's really into pottery. In fact, he's got his own potter's wheel. That's how hardcore he is. In his backyard, his parents' backyard. And he goes out there all the time. Just saying. Someday. And he goes out there, and I see him do this amazing thing. I mean, just takes a lump of clay, and within, no joke, 5 minutes, this thing will look like an amazing pot, this just damp lump of clay. And I look at that, after he's done, I don't just go up to him and say, that's mine. First off, it would fall apart because he hasn't, you know, fired it and made it solid. But the other part, I didn't make it. It's not mine. I don't own it. God made us. And yet, here's the special thing about God. He gives each and every one of us a choice. You can belong to me, or you can go and try to do your own thing. Each one of us has a choice. We're focusing out of Galatians, and I first want to read to you Galatians 3:26. Simply reads this, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't get more simpler than that. But going a little more forward in Galatians, in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Remember, we talked about grace last week and the law. To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. I'm going to read that one more time. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Let's dive into that a little bit, because there's a lot of good things in that. The first thing I want to start off, we're going to go into some comparisons here. But there are two choices we are consistently faced with. Two choices, son or slave. Son or slave. The first comparison is this. The slave has a master. The son has a father. The slave has a master. The son has a father. Romans 8, 15 through 16. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, that's an incredible thing. Some of you might know from my stories that I tell that I used to work for my dad. It was a great thing. It worked. I needed the money. I needed the job. And he needed somebody to do all this junk work around the office. It's an interesting thing, though, working for your father. Because there's a fine line between father and employer, and sometimes that line gets blurred. And understand something about my father. My dad likes to get things done. I mean, hey, I want you to do this. And he expects you to do it right then, right now. Some of you know what I'm talking about when it comes to an employer like that. They just want it done. It's not a bad thing. Just they want it done. With me, though, sometimes, okay, well, all right, I'll get to it. And there was a lot of grace in that. But I saw the difference in how he would treat other people who were under him. And let me tell you something. They got things done right away, because if they didn't, they got a speech. There's a big difference between having a master and somebody who's over us, telling us what to do, scrutinizing every single thing, or a father figure who says, it's okay, you messed up, come on, get up, let's keep going, let's move forward, it's okay, I forgive you, let's go, we've got things to do, and I want you with me every step of the way. There's a love there that a master sometimes doesn't have. That's a big difference. And that's one of the key things in our relationship with God. We have to look at him as a father. The next comparison is this. The slave is an employee. The son is an heir. The slave is an employee. The son is an heir. Romans 8, 17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And in Philippians 2, 12 through 13, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. There's a real strong point in this that I want to make, and I want to be very clear with it. We are children of God. If you have a relationship with God, you are a child of God. It's pure and simple, just like that. But we talk about God's kingdom. How many of you have heard that term before, God's kingdom? Nobody? Oh, yeah, we've heard it, right? What do we talk about when we talk about building it? Saving people for Christ, we try to build relationships with people, we try to do good. What if I told you it's so much more than that? So much more. The son is an heir. If we are a child of God, then his kingdom is our inheritance. And let me tell you what comes to mind when I think of that. Because what I don't want you to get out of this is the selfish ambition that I'm going to do what I want in God's kingdom because it's going to be mine someday. That's not the point here. What I think about when I think of this is someday, not today, not in the near future, someday, I'd like to be a father. I'd like to have a son. And someday, that child of mine is going to live in Fresno. And I look around and I look and see, is Fresno the place? Is it in a position where I want my child to be in? Do I want them living in this area the way it is now? Or do I want it to be the best possible place that it can be? I don't want them persecuted for what they believe. In fact, I want them to be able to share with other people about it. And I know we live in a great country where we can do that, but let's face it, it's hard sometimes following God. It just is. I want to build God's kingdom. so that I can see the fruit of that later on. And sometimes that's not always the easiest thing. The next comparison is this. The slave is driven by duty. The son is driven by devotion. The slave is driven by duty. The son is driven by devotion. There are very few people that I am truly devoted to, God being one of them, but let's talk people for a sec. And I could probably count them on my hand. Probably one, actually. One of them, his name is Tom. Tom's a good buddy. You don't know him. You never met him. He lives down in Orange County in OC. And Tom, I love Tom. Tom likes to make jokes, and a lot of them, sometimes inappropriately. He's just that kind of person, but I love him. I love hanging out with him. And one day, Tom comes up to me and he says, "Hey, man, I got to go. I got to do a conference, and I'm going to take my family with me." You know, he's a very big family man. He's got two daughters, young. He likes to take them with him, get them out of school. They take their homework, and they hang out together. And he goes, "Hey, I need somebody to house sit." I go, "You bet." He goes, "Wait, it's not it. I've got two dogs. You mind watching my dogs for me?" I like dogs. I like my dogs. I don't like your dogs. I like my dogs. So I'm, you know what, Tom? I love you. I'll do it for you. Tom has two dogs. One of them is this real tiny, skinny white rat. It's fluffy. It's hyper. Her name is Piper. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but there it is. And I just don't like her. I just don't, all right? You might find her cute. That's fine. And I'm not like, "I hate you." I'm like, "Just go be over there. I'm going to be over here." The other one is Kita. Big, big golden retriever. Fat, fat golden retriever. And old. She is old. And I have sympathy for this dog. I mean, you see, she's got a big fat tumor on her side. I'm like, "Oh, you poor thing. Let me love on you. I feel for you." And that was the beginning of what, you know, I sometimes wonder what hell will be like. I think I got a glimpse of it in the next 48 hours. Because I start taking care of these dogs, and I got to tell you, first off, the old one, the golden retriever, she's like, whatever. She's off on her own. I'm like, that's cool. The other one, every time I sit down, not even next to the dog, every time I just sit down, she's on the couch, I sit down, she pees on herself. And I'm looking, and I'm going, no wonder they left the towels on the couch. Fools, they didn't tell me. This dog doesn't get it. So every time I sit down, I got to clean up after this dog. Gets late. I fall asleep. And I fall asleep. When I would stay at their house, I just sleep on their couch. I'm not going to sleep anywhere else. I'm not going to sleep in somebody else's bed. That's weird. So I'm asleep on the couch. And you know those moments where you kind of wake up, you're half awake, but you're really still half asleep. You don't know where you're at. That happens to me. And I see Kita, the big golden retriever's head, just over my lap. I'm laying down, she's over my lap. And all of a sudden,
oh, no.
Did she just throw up on me? I think she just threw up on me. Yeah, she threw up on me. She threw up on me. I didn't have a change of clothes. I didn't have any. That went on for the 48 hours. Let me tell you, that's devotion to somebody to watch their dogs, especially dogs like that. But I love Tom, and there's a lot of things that I would do for Tom. Tom has taken time with me. He loves on me. And more than just in a professional way, he would meet with me for coffee and talk to me about my life. That's how much he cared. I wonder sometimes how much devotion we all have to a living, breathing God who cares for us. And as much as Tom cares for me, God cares for me far more. There is a devotion there that is either just sold out for God or is utterly lacking for God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked him, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" And then Jesus, I imagine he says it like this, "Martha, Martha, Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." What a great example of how we should dedicate our time to God. Very few things matter. In fact, there's only one thing that matters. And that's our relationship to God. Do we take the time? Believe me, I know that is far easier said than done. My week this week has been hectic. There are bills to pay. There is cleaning to do. I heard a gentleman say, I got to work all day. I don't have time to come home and clean. What? I live all by myself. I got to clean that thing. Otherwise, you know what happens if you don't clean your apartment or your place. You know. Things got to get done, but they cannot. I'm going to say this. Please listen to this. They cannot come between my relationship with God. He is my Father. He has made me his heir. I must be devoted to him if this relationship is to be successful. My last point to you is this. It'll be up here on the screen. Our relationship with God is built on love and respect. Love and respect. You'll hear that a lot. You hear that a lot with different kinds of relationships. There has to be a love and respect there. And it's no different with God. Here's the thing, too. God loves and respects you. Do you love and respect him back? Do you take time with him? Do you talk to him? It can't be a one-way conversation. I wouldn't be in a relationship with my girlfriend if she was talking to me all the time and I just stood there. It would not work. You might go, how do I talk to God? Sit down somewhere. Say, God, you don't have to look up. He's all around. Here are some things going on in my life. Here's where I'm at. Simple as that. We're going to worship and go into communion. Let's worship today just a little bit longer.